Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we are continuing our discussion of why Jesus came to earth and how we're to live in light of why he came. Jesus came to earth to put God's plan back on track. God's plan for man and the earth is that men and women become his holy, righteous sons and daughters through faith in Christ, and that the earth be the home for God and his family. The Bible begins and ends with God on earth with his sons and daughters. God's plan to have a family of holy, righteous sons and daughters was taken off track in the Garden of Eden when Adam chose independence from God through sin. His actions affected the race resident in him. A fundamental change took place in human nature. Beings made in the image of God developed a sin nature, a nature contrary to God. And like Adam, when we reach the age to know right from wrong, we choose independence from God through sin. The earth itself was infused with the corruption and death, making life on this planet very difficult and very deadly. But God knew what Adam would do and devised a plan called redemption to deliver mankind in the earth from this condition. God himself took on flesh and died to deliver men and earth from sin. Jesus went to the cross to pay the price for sin so it can be removed and God can transform sinners into holy, righteous sons and daughters. Now, we left off yesterday, beginning in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans 8, 29 and 30 give a brief summary of how God restores, of how God gets his plan on track through Jesus. You see, when Jesus came to earth, he announced in his public ministry, when his public ministry began, his opening words were, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew 4:17. Kingdom means rule, reign, realm. Jesus came to restore the reign of God in men and through men on the earth. In Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30, we have a brief summary of how God restores his reign or his kingdom in men by turning sinners into sons through Jesus. Romans 8, 29, "For whom God did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Now, we left off here yesterday making the point that Jesus is the pattern for God's family. In his earth ministry, he showed us what sons and daughters of God look like, or how they live in relation to God as their father and in relation to their fellow man. Jesus is God become a man without ceasing to be God. While on earth, Jesus did not cease to be God, but he did not live as God. He lived as a man in dependence on his Father, which is what we are supposed to do. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me follow my outline here so we don't miss any points. God decided before he formed the earth that we would be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We don't become Jesus. We become like him in character and power. He's the pattern for the family. We become like him in character and power. We actually become the person God created us to be, fully free from every trace of sin, corruption, and death, and fully glorifying to God in every aspect of our being. Our destiny is to be conformed to the image of Christ. People often want to know, what's my destiny? What is my purpose? Why am I here? We all have a God-given desire to know our purpose, to know why we're here. Well, friends, this is it. Our destiny, our purpose is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Conformed comes from a word that means to have the same form as. It has the idea of an inward, lasting change of character or nature. Let me say that again. Conformed comes from a word that means to have the same form as, and it has the idea of an inward, lasting change of character or nature. Let me read this verse out of the Amplified. It says, God decided beforehand that we should be molded into the image of His Son and share His likeness inwardly. Share His likeness inwardly. Verse 30 goes on to say, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. That word there, called, has the idea of summoned. We've been summoned or invited to our destiny. You know, you may have been a surprise or an accident to your mom and dad, but not so to God. He knew you before He formed the earth, and He called you to become His son or daughter through Jesus and to actually share the likeness of Jesus inwardly or be conformed to the image of Christ, that there would be an inward, lasting change of character or nature that would make you like Jesus in character and power. Now, we'll explain what all that means and how it happens as we work through this series, but I want you to see right now, there's a high calling on your life. It's way bigger than where you work or where you go to school or where you live or even who you're married to or what your ministry is. It's that you become God's son or daughter through faith in Christ and then be made like Jesus. God transforms sinners into holy, righteous sons and daughters through Jesus. Now, let me keep reading here. This is Romans chapter 8, verse 29. It tells us our destiny is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 30, we get a summary of how God does this. It's a brief summary of how He does this. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. He called or invited you to this destiny. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. God calls us, justifies us, and glorifies us. Now we'll discuss each point in detail through the week here. But let me make a statement here. Now listen to me. Hear me out. Before you say, oh, that's not right, listen. It is frequently said that Christians are forgiven sinners. Now, I get the point that people are making, but that's actually not an accurate statement. We are not forgiven sinners. Yes, we've been forgiven. Yes, we were sinners. But through the cross of Christ, we have been justified. See, verse 30 says, those He did predestinate, those He had a plan for before He formed the earth, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified. We've been justified. That word means acquitted. Now let's discuss what that means. All men are guilty of sin before a holy God. And although God loves men and women, the men and women He created, He is also a just God. That means He always does what is right. It is right and just to punish sin. Now, we know that when we're talking about a mass murderer or a serial killer or Adolf Hitler or somebody like that. But when we're talking about ourselves, it's a little more dicey. But friends, God must punish sin to be true to His own righteous nature. God cannot, God will not let anyone off the hook for sin. Exodus chapter 23, verse 7 says, I will not justify the wicked. A lot of other verses say things like that. Nobody No wicked person gets let off the hook. The righteous penalty for sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Death is more than physical death. The penalty for sin is eternal separation from God. But if God were to carry out the punishment prescribed by his own law, he would lose the race he created. So God, in his love and grace, devised a masterful plan. He took on flesh and died in our place. He died for us, at us. He died for us, as us, at the cross. Jesus died the death we should have and would have died had he not taken our place. Jesus took the righteous punishment that should have come to us for sin. Justice has been satisfied in regard to our sin. We have been justified. Justified comes from a word that means to render just or innocent. It actually means to be acquitted. Now, when you're forgiven, you're guilty, but the one you wronged chooses not to hold it against you. When you're pardoned, you're guilty, but you're released from the penalty. It isn't carried out. But when you're acquitted, all charges are dropped because there's no evidence of wrongdoing. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 says, he has utterly wiped out the written evidence of broken commandments, which always hung over our heads, and has completely annulled it by nailing it to his cross. Through the cross, our sin has been wiped out. There's no evidence of wrongdoing. Therefore, God can justify us and deal with us as though we never sinned when we put faith in Christ. When you're forgiven, you're guilty, but the wronged one, the one you wrong, chooses not to hold it against you. When you're pardoned, you're guilty, but you're released from the penalty. It's not carried out. When you're acquitted, though, all charges are dropped because there's no evidence of wrongdoing. Jesus took the evidence of your wrongdoing to the cross, wiping it out, and now God can acquit you or drop all charges because the evidence is gone, and he can deal with you as though you never sinned. You've been justified. More tomorrow.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619. 19.